Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
With that stuff, the Bible said in verse 1 of Genesis 39, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptians. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. Bible said in verse number 5, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Now, I'm just going to say this in passing. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I find it interesting that the Bible said in verse 5, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. It was because of Joseph that their house was blessed, not necessarily because of them, but because of Joseph. And I'm reminded of that story in the New Testament. You remember when they found that man sick of the palsy? He was born of four. There was four of them carried him to Jesus, and they couldn't get into Jesus because of the press. The house was full. Nobody would let them into Jesus. And the Bible says that they got up on the rooftop, and they tore a hole in the rooftop and let that man down to Jesus. Of course, Jesus healed that man, told him to take up his bed and walk. The Bible said it this way, they were all amazed, and it goes on to say that they never saw it on that fashion. In other words, they never saw God move like God moved that day. And the reason they was able to enjoy that, not because of what they done, but because of what those four did, getting that man to Jesus. And you know, sometimes you come to church and you're about half backslid. You're tired and you give out and you're grumpy, but you come to church because, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. And all of a sudden, you hadn't prayed for the service. You hadn't read your Bible like you're supposed to that day. But all of a sudden, in the middle of the service, man, God just sweeps through, blesses you. Are you with me? And you leave encouraged. Why? Because of the prayers of somebody else. And the Egyptians are enjoying the blessings of God because of someone else. It's because of Joseph. Can I just say this to you tonight? The only reason I'm able to enjoy the blessings of God is because of someone else. And his name is Jesus, amen? And boy, there's a great type in the life of Joseph of Christ. But let's move on, verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But verse number 8 said, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master would not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass as he spake to Joseph, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. I want to talk to you just a little bit tonight about the character of Joseph, or the way that Joseph met this temptation that came against him. Father, I love you tonight, and I pray that over the next few minutes, God, that you'd help us as we look into your word. God, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just hear the words of God tonight. Father, we just wouldn't hear the preaching. But God, I pray, Lord, even in my life, that I apply, Lord, the things that you've given me in studying this week. And God, not only I, but those underneath the sound of my voice here in the sanctuary, those that may be watching by live feed tonight, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to apply the preaching from your word. Lord, it's one thing to hear, but it's quite another to act upon, and help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to look at this, and I think that tonight we can look at the way that Joseph conducted himself when he was facing temptation, and learn some things in our life. Now, I'll say this to you, and I'm sure that I'll say it again before the evening is over, but we are, we cannot completely dismiss ourselves from temptation. Temptation is going to come our way. There's no way around that. We live in the world. We don't have to live of the world, but we do have to live in the world. And I promise you, somewhere along the way, Satan is going to tempt you, and Satan's going to tempt me. Just as Joseph was tempted right here. It's very interesting that going into this, the Bible notes on several different occasions that Joseph's character, how he is a good man. He is a godly man. And of course, if you know the whole story, he is living in the favor of God. Joseph should be dead, man. He really should, whenever you study his whole life out. But because of the favor of God, he is still alive, and God is using Joseph's life. I want to say this to you tonight. The closer you get to God, the more you try to serve God, the more you read your Bible, the more you study the Word of God, I promise you, the more you will face temptation, and the more the devil will come against you. If you're complacent, as I said on Sunday, he has you right where he wants you. But boy, when we begin to read our Bible, when we begin to study the Word of God, when we begin to go to church faithfully, when we begin to serve Him the way that we should with our whole heart, the devil will try his best to tempt us and to cause us to be a casualty in the service of God. This week, just in the past 2 or 3 weeks, there's been several preachers that I know that I've preached for, that I've been in meetings with, that has failed a temptation. Just this week, I was going up the road, and I got a message on my phone, and I called the man that sent it to me. I said, "Please tell me this is not so." And he said, "Well, preacher," he said, "I know you've preached in that pulpit numerous times." He said, "You're my friend." And he said, "I wanted you to hear it from me. It is so." And I thought, my soul, what in the world? What in the world? Let me tell you what it is. It's temptation. We better learn how to deal with temptation, because I promise you, we can't live above temptation. We can't live above sin. Daddy used to say it this way, the only way you can ever live above sin is to get an apartment above a beer joint. And we can't live above sin. We can't live above temptation. It will come, and we better know how to behave ourselves when it does. Let me show you 2 or 3 things. We'll go home. Number one, Joseph met this temptation with a firm refusal. With a firm refusal. Look with me in verse number 8. The Bible said, "But he refused." What happened? Temptation comes his way, man. Here he is in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife comes to him, and temptation meets him. You know what he had to do? He had to refuse that temptation. Joseph was ready with a firm no. when the temptation came to him. I believe Joseph had already settled this matter within his heart. He had already made the decision of what he would do when temptation came. He had already decided that he would go with God and stay away from sin. Can I say this to you? Daniel did not decide in Babylon not to bow to the Babylonian God. He did not decide in Babylon that whenever it was brought before him and Nebuchadnezzar said, do this, not to bow. Daniel decided that way before he ever got to Babylon. And I say this to you, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego decided way before they ever got to temptation that they would not bow to it. You need to make a refusal now and decide in your heart right now that when temptation comes, it will be met with a refusal. If you have to think about it, you're going to get in trouble. Can I say that again? If you have to think about it, you're gonna get in trouble. I'm reminded of a story that was, and I probably shared this before, but a while back, we was in devotions one Wednesday morning at the sheriff's office, and we was talking about creatures of habit, being creatures of habit. They said years ago, whenever they qualified on the range, if your gun jammed, you was taught to raise your hand is what you was taught to do. And of course, Brother Jonathan, they don't teach that now. You go through the different things, but that's the way he said they used to teach it years ago, that they'd raise their hand. And said that they had actually got into a gunfight one night, and one of the officer's guns jammed. And when the other officer turned around and looked at him, he was standing there with his hand raised. Let me tell you the reason why. That's what he had put into his mind to do. I want you to hear me tonight. You better put into your mind right now, when temptation comes your way, you're going to refuse it. You're going to say no. You're going to, nope. If you wait to decide it then, if you wait, what did the Bible say? He said, when the, not evil days, but the evil day. That is singular in that text. Go home and study it out. I really believe that each and every one of us will be met with a day in our life that the devil has set up to destroy our testimony. And if you wait until that evil day to refuse the temptation, you'll fail to it. It has to be something already in place. I thought about this. When we allow our minds to be unprincipled and uncontrolled, we run the risk of being unprepared for the attacks of sin and Satan. When temptation comes after you, it's hard to say no and mean it in the heat of the moment. But if you decide right now, when that comes, I'm saying no, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be a whole lot easier for you to walk away from it. Number one tonight, I read this. Let me say this to you. Spurgeon said this. Spurgeon said, learn to say no. It will be more of use to you than any words you're able to read in Latin. Now you got to understand his day and time. What he is saying is this: no will be the most important word that you ever learn in your life. I'll just go on to say this. There's a lot of people wouldn't be in the financial mess that they're in today if they'd have learned to say no. Temptation. Temptation. You know, we have this mindset, and don't nobody fall out with me right now, but we have this mindset, well, as long as the bank approves it, then evidently it's of God. Are you with me? Everybody okay right there? Now, let me tell you what that might be. The devil might be tempting you with something that's going to cause you to have to miss the house of God to make the payment on something and cause more stress in your home and on your marriage And just because, I'm going to say this publicly, I've got perfect credit. I do. I've never been late on a payment of nothing. I've never made an additional payment on a credit card besides the first payment. We use a credit card every month. That's the way, because you build points up on it, and come Christmas time, you get free stuff. You with me? If you'll pay it off. I've never made a second payment on a credit card. My mom and daddy taught me that my credit meant something to me. And I could go to the bank today. I could go to the Ford dealership today and pick out the most expensive car down there, and I could pray something like this. Now, Lord, if it's your will for me to have this, let my credit be okay and me be able to get along. You know what? I'm going to get the loan. No question about it. I'm going to get the loan. That don't mean it's God. And a lot of times when we talk about temptation, we just think about on a sexual term or on a sinful term. I'm telling you, Satan will throw all kinds of temptations at you. You better learn to discern the Holy Spirit and learn how to say no. Number one, I see that he met it with a firm refusal. He said no. Number two, he not only met it with a firm refusal, he met it with a faith-based refusal. His refusal was faith-based. Note again what the Bible said in verse number 8, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master would not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in the house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against, what's the next word? God. And sin against God. Joseph refused on the grounds that Potiphar had placed Joseph in a position of power because he trusted him. He refused to violate that trust. However, at the very foundation of Joseph's refusal was his walk with his God. He knew that committing adultery with this woman might bring pleasure in the short term, but in the long term, it would mean violating the trust of Potiphar had placed in him, and it would cause a breach, more importantly, in his relationship with God. And even if Potiphar never found out, Joseph knew God would know. I thought about this for Joseph. That was a price far too high to pay. His integrity before men, his walk with God, and his ability to look in the mirror without guilt were worth more to Joseph than a few moments of physical pleasure. He said, the reason I'm not going to do that is because I'm not going to sin against God. Can I just say it this way to put it real plain and to put it real simple? Joseph feared God. You know the reason the people do what they do today? It's because there's no fear of God. There's just no fear of God. You want me to tell you the reason people can just lay out of church for no reason? They don't fear God. They don't. Hey, it's Wednesday night. You're sitting here. You're hollering, amen. They don't fear God. You want me to tell you the reason they run into this world and run around in this world and do the things of this world? They don't fear God. You want me to tell you the reason a woman will look at a man down at the job place and talk to him in a way that she shouldn't? It's because they don't fear God. That's the bottom line to this world. Don't fear God. Man does not fear God like they once did. And he refused. His refusal was firm, but his refusal was faith-based, man. He said, God's been too good to me. God's blessed me too much. God's brought me too far. God had salvaged the life of Joseph, and he said, I'm not going against God. Hear me and hear me well. I don't want to let you down. I don't want to let my spouse down. I don't want to let my parents down. But more than any of that, there is a God in heaven, and I do not want to let God down. There is a fear of God, and he said, look, I'm not doing this because it would displease God. It would displease God. The reason, I'm going to move on, but the reason so many people wind up in trouble is because there is no fear of God. And the reason there is no fear of God like there should be is because it's not because they don't go to church. It's because they don't have a relationship with God. Can I say that they don't have a relationship with God? They've not read their Bible since Sunday. They've not prayed. I'm just being real, church. I'm just being real with us. So when temptation comes, they don't, Brother Elijah, they don't have a relationship with God. They have forgotten that they was purged from their old sin. Go read 2 Peter. And that's the reason so many mess up today. Church, I promise you, you're going to face temptation. But you've got to meet it with a firm refusal and a faith-based refusal. I'm not going to do it because of God. That's why. Number three tonight, he met it with a firm refusal. He met it with a faith-based refusal. But can I say this to you, number three tonight? He met it with a faithful refusal. A faithful refusal. Look what he said in verse number 10. And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day. Day by day. Are you seeing the pattern? She kept coming back. She kept. Now I'm going to say something tonight, and it's just going to go ahead and just plummet the rest of the service. But I'm going to tell you something. If there's somebody down there at the job place, it's going to ruin your family. And you can't get away from them. Let me tell you, the best thing you can do is quit that job. It don't matter how long you've been there. It don't matter how much you got invested in it. If you've got any fear of God and you respect your spouse and you want to continue in the fellowship of God, you better walk away from it. I'm just being real with you. Preacher, they won't leave me alone. They won't leave me alone. Request a different department. Tell them something's got to change. Are you with me? Let me tell you the reason a lot of times it don't change. Because you don't want it to. Because you just don't want it to. Because you enjoy it. You enjoy that flirty conversation that you think nobody else knows, but God in heaven's watching. God in heaven's watching your eyes, the way you look at them. There's some ways I look at my wife, I'm not going to look at nobody else. Somebody give me a witness right there. There's some way she looks at me, and bless God, she better not look at no other man that way. You know what I'm going to do in the private? I'm going to call her out on it. So I can see the way you look. Hey, whoa, hold up a minute, Hall said. There's a problem right here. I'm just being real with you. Just be honest about this thing. If you continue looking that way, there was a faithful refusal. Look what happened, verse number 10. Let's move. Let's get here. We'll go home. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. He was faithful in that refusal. He was faithful in that refusal. Every day this woman tempted Joseph, and every day he steadfastly refused her advances. But Joseph didn't resort to mind games like, well, if the Lord didn't want me to do this, he would just take it away from me. You remember what the Bible said, that with every temptation he makes a way of escape. He is taking it away from you. You just too bullheaded or too, don't take this wrong, too spiritually dumb to understand God has set an escape for you. If trouble comes in here tonight, if this platform catches on fire, you know what you're going to do? You're going to go to the illuminated exit signs. And in every temptation in your life, there's an illuminated exit sign. It's just up to you to look for it. Years ago, I'll use Joe as an illustration. Years ago, she probably don't even remember this. Years ago, we were sitting in a restaurant. I looked at her and Lydia, and I said, "Where's the closest exit?" What? These teenage girls then, they didn't know where the closest exit was. And I said, "Girls, let me teach you something." I said, "Whenever you go in somewhere and sit down, always look around and see where the closest exit is. So if something goes south, you can get out of there." Me, I'm going to sit with my back to everybody 99% of the time. Are we? I'm going to watch everybody. I'm not going. Yesterday, my girls conned me into going to Concord Mills. We went to Concord Mills, and Brother Brian, they was shopping their little hearts out. You know what I done? I went to Burger King right there in the food court, and I got me some French fries and a Coca-Cola. Somebody say, "Man, French fries and Coca-Cola." And I sat down, and I didn't sit there and look on my phone with my head down the whole time. You know what? I looked at everybody around me the whole time. Because if one of them jacklegs down there went crazy, me and my friend was getting out of there. You say, "Who was your friend?" Well, I had my wife and my girls and Mason, but I had another friend with me too. And he's one that sticketh closer than a brother. And I had the Holy Ghost too. Y'all get a hold of all of it here in just a little while. You say, "Well, concealed." That's the key, concealed. You don't show it to everybody. Watch this. I was watching everybody. The problem is this. When we get in temptation, we don't go to looking for the exit sign. We don't wake up every day of our life with a relationship with God going, "God, would you help me today? That when temptation comes my way, God, show me the exit sign and help me to get out of it." I promise you, the only reason you fall to temptation is your own fault. It's not God's fault, and it's not somebody else's. It's yours. How did he meet this temptation? With a faithful refusal. With a faithful refusal. We need to understand this temptation is going to come. God will strengthen us and enable us to stand against it, but we're going to have to fight it and learn to take a stand. There's something very important to notice in verse number 10. Joseph refused to listen to her words, and he refused to be with her. He came to the place where he came to the place where he physically avoided her. This is a great step in avoiding sinning through temptation. Don't flirt with it. Don't try to prove you can handle it because you can't. He was faithful in resisting it. There was nobody else around, just him and her. Probably around 17 or 18 years old. Here's the master's wife. Nobody else is around. What's he going to do? He says, "You've lost your mind, woman," and takes off running. He was faithful in that refusal. I read this illustration. Don't fall out with me. On the TV show Hee Haw, Doc Campbell is confronted by a patient who says he broke his arm in two places. The doctor replied, "Well, then stay out of them places." Stay out of them places. You know what? There's some places that you're going to get broke in. You better stay out of them. You better stay out of them. Number four, he met it with a final refusal. Look in verse number 12. And she called him by his garment. She called him. Evidently, he's already trying to get away, Brother Elijah, because she called him. She called him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. You know what he done? Son, he met it with a final refusal. When the big day came, this woman allowed her thoughts to find physical expression. She grabbed Joseph and said, "Lie with me." It was time to make a decision, and he did. He walked away. Joseph literally ran away from Potiphar's wife to preserve his character and his relationship with God. Will you come start playing softly, Miss Tanya? I wrote this down. You cannot have it both ways. You can either give in to sin and pay the price for your pleasure, or you can run from temptation and protect your testimony. But you can't have it both ways. It will catch up with you. The chickens will come home to roost. Nathan looked at David and said, "Thou art the man." It'll come home. I remember, Mama, you've heard me say this many times. Brother Tim, my mama would always tell me when I'd start to leave. She'd say, "You just remember, and I may not be there, but there's an all-seeing eye watching you." And she'd say, "Now, son, God's going to see everything that you do while you're gone. I love you. Have a good time." Can I just tell you something? There's an all-seeing eye watching you. And you know what? You may keep it hid from your spouse, your husband, or your wife. You may keep it hid from your kids. You may keep it hid from the church. Until the day you die, you may keep it hid. But there's one that it's not hid from, and that's the main one, and that's God. And you're going to stand before Him one day and give an account for it. I read this. The shopkeeper asked the little boys whose eyes were on a large basket of apples outside his storefront. The shopkeeper looked at him and said, "What are you doing, son? Trying to steal one of those apples?" "No, sir," replied the boy. "I'm trying not to." Temptation's coming. You better figure out a way to say no to it. Joseph gives us a supreme example of how to escape every temptation that comes in our life. And I close with this. He said, "I'm not going to do this and displease God." That's where it comes back to. If you have a right fear of God, a right fear of God. Man, God's holy tonight. God don't let sin go unpunished. He's not. If you can sin and continue in sin and there's no chastisement, this is exactly what the Bible says. We're bastards and not sons. In other words, we're not His child. My child acts crazy, I'm going to correct my child because they're my child. And when we sin, God will correct us. If He don't, we're not His. Learning to deal with temptation. Father.